Well, some of you know me as the Sunday school teacher, but I occasionally fill in and when needed, when pastor's not here. And I don't relish doing it when he's sick. I don't mind doing it when he's out of town. But many times you're asked, or I'm asked, what is your favorite book in the Bible? And I always am hesitant about saying which is my favorite book because, you know, it's all the Word of God, whether it's Old Testament or New Testament. It's all written by God, using many different authors. But I do have a certain affinity when I'm reading the Bible to look at those verses in the Gospels that portray the Lord Jesus Christ in His walk. I often kind of fantasize if I'm there with Him. So those are the verses that I really like to study, to extrapolate. So if you open up your Bibles, and I'm sure you have them with you, if you don't, they're in front of you in the pew, to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. And I'm grateful for this opportunity. I'm grateful that I'm able to teach Sunday school. I'm grateful that I'm able to fill in, to be that gap person when called upon. And we all should be thinking along those lines, that if there's a need that suddenly pops up within the church and you feel that the Lord is leading you to do that, then you become that gap person. That's not a strange philosophy. It's something the Lord would want you and I all the times to do. But if we open up our Bibles to Luke chapter 11, I won't read the whole passage, but I will try to, if time allows, and just because pastor's not here, don't think you're getting out early, you're not. I don't know what time kickoff is, but you might miss the kickoff. So, beginning with verse 14, Luke chapter 11, and he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb, and it came to pass, when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. But some of them said, he casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils, and others tempting him, sought of him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because he say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub, and if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? And therefore shall they be your judges? But if I, with the finger of God, cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. We'll stop there. I want to continue as we open up the scriptures, but let's just go to the Lord at this time. Our Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for the many times that you speak to us, especially out of your word, Lord. We know that those things that are written in your word are for our edification, for our understanding, for our knowledge, Lord. We pray that the Holy Spirit would be your teacher tonight, that he would teach us all those things this morning, Lord, that he would teach us all those things, Lord, that you would have us to know. And I'm grateful that for each and every soul that's here. I'm grateful for those who represent families that are here, Lord. And I do pray that if there is someone here today that has not yet bowed the knee to you, if there's someone here who is still resisting your will in their life, Lord, that this would be the day that your Holy Spirit would speak to their heart and they would surrender their will to yours. And Father, again, be with me as I preach this message. In Jesus' name I ask, amen. So what do we have before us? You know, before I get started here, I'm looking at the Lord Jesus Christ here, and you'll agree with me that the Lord in his ministry did nothing but good. No one could lay anything at his feet that said Jesus did something evil or bad or not commensurate with what his Father would want him to do. So he always did the will of the Father, and his will was always good. But, you know, I was looking at some programs on Netflix, and there's very few on Netflix, if you have it, that are good. But so I've given myself over to watching documentaries, and I feel that they're relatively safe. And I'm on this documentary about Hitler, World War II, and the attractiveness of Adolf Hitler. And I'm saying to myself, look at this. This is a man who preached nothing but evil and had a great following. If you were to look at some of the scenes of those people who came out in support of Hitler, you would say, it's most of the country. And it was most of the country. There was a graphic that said that 99.7, when there was an election, when Hitler was being elected to be chancellor, and then he wanted to become the Führer, the leader, 99.7 voted for Hitler. I don't know where the 0.03 were, but they weren't. And the thing that really got me was that even the church, the Protestant Church of Germany, which I guess is the Lutheran, gave him somewhat of their support. So even the church was supportive of the policies. Now, this was early on, of course. And, you know, they said Mussolini, one good thing about Mussolini is that he got the trains to run on time. Well, that's not enough for us. That's not enough for you and I. But so I was saying, here's a man who preached nothing but evil, and he had a great following. And here's the Lord Jesus Christ, who preached nothing but good, and he had a following. But the more in depth his teaching got, the more it seemed to be a little bit too difficult for those who were following, and they went away because they could not bear what he was saying anymore. Because it was beginning to be a little bit more difficult. So I want us to look at this portion of scripture here. Read verses 4 to 16, 14 to 16. And he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb, and it came to pass, when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. So here, they wondered. Well, they knew, they had seen the miracles of Jesus before, and they had seen that he did nothing but good, but yet they wondered. I mean, they weren't wondering about whether he was a magician. Was he a trickster? How was he able to do this? How was he able to cast out a demon from this person who wasn't able to speak? And after that demon was cast out, the person spoke. And, you know, some afflictions, not all, some afflictions could be due to Satan, due to a devil. Verse number 15 says, but some of them said, he casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. So, this was a name that the Jews had given to Satan, Beelzebub. And the translation for Beelzebub is Lord of the Flies. Lord of the Flies. So I kind of thought, well, why would they choose that name, Lord of the Flies, for Satan? And I'm thinking, he's the Lord of Death. You ever see a carcass of an animal laying out? What do you see buzzing around? You see flies. And eventually, maybe more than that, you see worms, larvae. So this is Satan. This is a tremendous picture of Satan. Satan is the Lord of Death. And you know, there are people out here in this very city, this very town, who have a demonic spirit, who are dead. The Bible says that you are dead in your trespasses and sins. So not only are they walking around as corpses, they have rotting flesh, and that rotting flesh is attracting flies. So that, you know, that's a horrendous picture, but sometimes you need to have a picture like that put in your head if you're not born again. Verse number 16. So they're accusing him of casting out devils in the name of Beelzebub, the Lord of the Flies, the Lord of dead things. And he truly is the Lord of Death. And verse number 16, and others tempting him sought of him a sign from heaven. Well, did they want a sign from heaven to prove that God is approving of Jesus? or do they just want another sign? Jesus had done tremendous miracles. What did He do? He gave sight to the blind. He raised the dead. He made the dumb to speak. He cast out demons. And yet they're looking for another sign. And sometimes before you and I accept Jesus as our Savior, we're looking for some other thing, the other shoe to fall in our life. And then maybe I'll make that choice. Well, you don't never know when the next choice or the next opportunity will be your last opportunity. We don't know that. So the Bible says that now is the accepted time. Now is the time to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't put it off till tomorrow. Don't sit on that fence. I've said this many times before. Don't sit on the fence. Guess who made that fence? Satan made that fence. He wants you to be comfortable on that fence. So here, just to have this picture now, Jesus is walking through the crowds. He just cast out a demon. And of course, the Pharisees are the ones that are saying that He's casting out demons by the power of Beelzebub. In other words, they're saying that Jesus is just a tool. He's a tool of Satan. Well, you know, if you went to Matthew, and I said there's a corresponding event here in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12. And, you know, let's just turn there. Because it's dangerous to talk like that. It's dangerous to accuse Jesus of doing something. But there's even something more dangerous than that. Look at chapter 12 and verse number 31. Again, this is Jesus talking. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. In verse 32, and whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, that's the Lord Jesus, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Now this we know as the unpardonable sin. A sin that can never be forgiven. Why? Because the unpardonable sin is a denial of the power of the Holy Ghost to convert you. You see, you can speak against the Lord Jesus Christ, and that can be forgiven you. But He's casting out demons by the power of the Holy Spirit. If you deny the Holy Spirit, if you deny His marvelous work in your life to convict you of your sin, to take up residence in you, if you deny Him that, that means you've denied the salvation that's been offered to you. There's no turning back from that. If you deny the power of the Holy Spirit and you keep on pushing the Holy Spirit away, eventually you're going to die in your sins. And if you die in your sins, there's only one place where you will spend eternity. So here now we see that Jesus is saying, even if you speak against me and what I'm doing, you can be forgiven. Now you may have in your past life or maybe even now spoken against the Lord Jesus Christ, saying, well, I don't fully believe that He's the Son of God. That can be forgiven you. But don't resist the moving power of the Holy Spirit. Because if you do that, there's no other way to receive Christ but by repenting of your sins. And where do we get repentance from? The Holy Spirit lays that on our heart. So don't resist. And then even in today at this meeting, there might be someone who's resisting the power of the Holy Spirit. So we see now in verse number 17, but He knowing their thoughts, well, He's God. He knows the thoughts. He's not a mind reader like we think of it, but He knows the thoughts of those who are there. But He, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. So Every nation, every kingdom is always corrupted from within. You know, nations fall sometimes because they're conquered, but the great empires of the world have fallen because of the corruption within. You know, after the founding fathers of this country, at the constitutional conventions, and they were finished, and they voted, and they all signed, put their name on the Declaration of Independence, and drew up the U.S. Constitution. While leaving, someone asked Benjamin Franklin, "Well, what have you given us?" And what was his reply? "A republic. If you can keep it. If you can keep it." Sometimes I wonder our future as a country. Can we keep it? Can we keep it together? So even Jesus here is saying that a house divided against itself cannot stand. Of course, those are famous words of Abraham Lincoln also. He read the Bible. He studied the Bible. And sometimes people make the wrong conclusion about that statement. A house divided against itself cannot stand. He made that statement while he was running for a Senate seat. Not while he was president, not while the Civil War was going on. Sometimes we think, well, that's in reference to the Civil War, the North and the South being divided, the country. No. He made that statement regarding slavery. That a house divided against itself cannot stand. You cannot have a slave nation and a free nation living together side by side. It will not happen. And Jesus is saying here that you cannot have Satan saying that the things I'm doing because of Satan. Satan would never go against himself. And that's what they're saying here, right there in verse 17. That a house divided against a house falleth. And look at verse 18. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because ye say, I cast out devils through Beelzebub. Again, they accuse the Lord Jesus Christ of being just another demon, a tool of Satan, doing what the Lord of the flies has asked him to do, has commanded him to do. And Jesus says, no, of course not. He would never ask me to do something that is good to remove one of your demons from this poor man. No, that's not the way Satan thinks. That's not the way he works. That's the way Jesus works. He's always out to do good. You know, the Bible says in Isaiah, I need Noah. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Isaiah what? Is my wife here? Do you know what verse that is? It's in Isaiah. I think it's Isaiah 40 verse 6, maybe 46 verse something. But it's in there. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. So you need to read that, accept it, and claim it. That's one of those Bible promises that we can claim for ourselves. So Jesus says in verse number 19, and if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. Well, what is Jesus saying here? Well, it seems that there were at that time Jewish exorcists. And they were going around casting out demons, or so it appeared. Now, I can't say for sure whether God was using these Jewish men to cast out demons. I don't know. But at least they gave the appearance of casting out a demon from someone. But we're going to get into this in a few minutes as far as if a demon is cast out, well, what comes in after that? You see? Even if these Jewish exorcists were on the level, where was their power from? From God? Where was their power from? What happens? You know, it says that we know in nature, there's a law of nature that says that nature abhors a vacuum. So you can take something out, but what's coming in? We're going to get to that. In verse number 20. But if I, with the finger of God, cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. So here, in verse number 20, the finger of God is a reference to the Spirit of God, because we see that back in Matthew's. He doesn't use the word finger of God, he says by the Spirit of God. So we know that the reference here, when Jesus says by the finger of God, he's speaking about by the Holy Spirit of God, by the Holy Spirit. If I, with the finger of God, cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come unto you. Well, what does that mean? It means that the kingdom of God was in their presence. He was standing in their presence. He represented the kingdom of God. The Lord Jesus Christ represented the kingdom of God. And he was real before them. You know, there was a... We need to remember, if you study some of the Old Testament, the nation of Israel was in bondage, in captivity, in Babylon for 70 years. And when they came back into the land, while they were in the land, they were indulging in idolatry. As a matter of fact, it was idolatry that made them captives, that put them into bondage. And they were making sacrifices and bowing to Baal and Ashtaroth and Molech, all the other idols out there. But when they came back into the land, that demon of idolatry was cast out. And it never came back. You never read in the Bible after the Jews had come back from captivity from Babylon that they went back into idolatry. God had cured them of that form of idolatry. Now, we say idolatry comes in many shapes, manners, and forms, right? You and I could be idolaters to something in our lives. Simple question is, what is idolatry? Well, the simple answer is anything you put before the Lord. Anything in your life that has higher value and takes up more time than your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, that's become an idol. You know, we're in football season right now, and I know you men want to watch your favorite teams play, and we're going to spend 3 hours, maybe 6 hours today in front of a TV watching football. And I might be guilty of that. But if that's taking away from your Bible study time, if it's taking you away from anything that the Lord is asking you to do, that's become an idol in your life. Your job can become an idol in your life. You pay more attention to your job than you do for ministry with the Lord. Higher education. And I know people that are professional students. They just keep going and going and going. And they never have time to join a church, serve in that church, and seek the will of God, because they're professional students. Well, that becomes an idol in their lives. And, you know, you have to search out your own hearts to find out, do you have any idols in your life? Is there something in your life that you're putting before the Lord Jesus Christ? So that is idolatry. But God cured the nation of Israel of idolatry, of idol worship. We don't read anything in God's Word after they came back that they went back into idolatry. Look at verse number 21. When a strong man, armed, keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. Well, who's he talking about there? Talking about Satan. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. So Satan's grip on an unsaved person is very strong. That's why you wonder why people do certain things. You wonder why someone can pick up an automatic weapon and go to a mall and just shoot this indiscriminately, just shooting. You wonder why someone could, kidnap a child and do all sorts of things to that child. You wonder why that is. It's because Satan's grip on that person is so strong. There's nothing. There is no sin that they will not commit. And that's what he's saying here. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. You can't move that. Without the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, in your soul, in your spirit, then I have to say that if you don't belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, then you belong to Satan. You belong to Satan. You say, of course I'm not belonging to Satan. Well, there's only two choices. There's only two choices. I mean, didn't Moses and even Joshua said something similar too. He says, Moses said, I have set before you good and life, evil and death. Well, what would you choose? Right? That's not a hard choice. But he set before you the Lord Jesus Christ, who is good and life itself, or Satan, who is evil and death. Is that a hard choice? Yet so many make the wrong choice. If you're out there today and you haven't made the right choice, you're not choosing Jesus, you're choosing Satan. And Satan belongs to you. So be very careful as you read these verses. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. And verse 22, but when a stronger than he shall come upon him, praise the Lord. Now we're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He is stronger than Satan. He's defeated Satan. You know, that reminds me of watching a boxing match. And you have two boxers, two men in there, pummeling each other. But one is just absolutely losing every round. Big. Right? There's no way for him to win. He's already lost. But he doesn't know it yet because the final bell hasn't rung. But he's already fighting a losing fight. Well, that's a picture of Satan. He's fighting. He's already lost. Jesus is already the victor. You look at the scorecard. He's ahead in every round. But Jesus is alive. I mean, the Satan is alive and well, and he is still fighting. So be very wary. But he's a defeated foe. Jesus won the victory at that cross. Amen. But he says here, when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divided his spoils. So, when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, he is able to save to the uttermost. To the uttermost. He doesn't leave anything in doubt. You trust in the Lord, you by faith. The just shall live by faith. Habakkuk and James say that. The just shall live by faith. If you're trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ and living by faith, there's nothing that Satan can do with you. He'll move on. He'll move on. Now, he'll try to oppress you from time to time. You know, the question comes up usually in children. Can Satan possess a saved person? Well, of course not. Satan cannot live where the Holy Spirit is living. Amen? So a saved person doesn't have to be concerned about demon possession, but demons do oppress even those who are saved. But here we have the Lord Jesus Christ. He's come in and he saved us to the uttermost. Now this is not the same as turning over a new leaf. See, what the Lord does, he doesn't do a reformation in you. He does a conversion in you. Right? Now, we speak about, when we say reformation, we think of Martin Luther and, you know, the movement that came out of the established church at that time. And we think that, well, here we have something new. Something new. And out of that something new came all these other denominations, right? All these other denominations. And I won't go list them. I can probably give you five or six and then I'll go blank. But when you think about the Reformation, there was no conversion. And that is true also of the individual. The individual that goes through a Reformation, he's reformed. You know, the person that's an alcoholic, they go through the 12-step program. They're turning over a new leaf. And they'll say, well, I'm a reformed alcoholic. Or, you know, I'm a reformed pornography viewer. Or I'm a reformed this, or I'm a reformed that. Turning over a new leaf is not enough. Because you still leave yourself open for repossession. By maybe even a different spirit. Let's look at that, because this is so interesting. When I read this, I said, wow, Lord, I know you want me to share this with the people here today. So we know that He is able to save us from the uttermost, that we need a true conversion. We must be born again. You must be born again. Those are the words of Jesus. You must be born again. Not just a simple makeover, but born again from within by the Holy Spirit. Verse 23. He that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth. So whose side are you on today? Are you on the side of the Lord Jesus Christ? Or are you on Satan's side? It's as simple as that. I'm making this very simple, very clear. There's no middle ground here. There's no gray area. Because if you think that you're going to wait around until, you know, you've done this, that, or the other thing, and then later on, you know, I'll make that decision. But right now, I'm too young to make that decision. Or I'm too old. You know, God can't forgive me for my past transgressions. No, that's not true. That's a lie from Satan. You're never too young as long as you understand the Bible, what the Scriptures are saying, as long as you realize that you're a sinner and you cannot save yourself and you need someone to come in and take your place, and that someone is only one person, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So here we have, there's no middle ground. Again, Joshua says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So you have to make that decision. I wouldn't leave this place today unless you've made that decision, unless you've cemented that. Say, oh, Brother Rich, you know, you're talking, you know, to the congregation here. You're talking to the choir, so to speak. Well, maybe I am, and that's praise the Lord. I look out here and say, wow, you know, the rapture comes, we're all leaving this place together. Right? Amen. I wish that were true. I wish that were true. But here, as we look, and I have to move. I have to move. Look at verse 24. When an unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and finding none, he saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out. So if a demon spirit is cast out, he's going to be out in the wilderness, and he's looking to repossess. And the easiest person to repossess is that person whose demon was cast out in the first place. But what went in there instead? It's empty. It's a vacuum. It's waiting to be filled up by something. And if that vacuum is not filled up by the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, that demon will want to come back in. This is why I say Reformation is not enough. You need to be a new creature in Christ. Amen. So, that's verse number 24. When we think of, look at verse number 25 to complete the thought. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. So, well, it's a nice clean house for me to come back into. Right? It's all empty. It's nice. Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of the man is worse than the first. So, every person that Jesus healed eventually died. Can we agree on that? Every person that Jesus healed died. Every person that Jesus raised from the dead died. Every demon that was cast out of a person, if that person didn't accept Jesus as the Messiah, that person was still left unclean as far as empty, and a demon could come back. That's what Jesus is saying here. I'm not saying that. Jesus is saying that. He goeth and taketh to him seven other spirits. So that means that when you see someone who is dabbling in the occult or doing bad things, and you wonder why it's like a deathly spiral, they just keep doing worse and worse and worse and worse. You see this beautiful baby just born. And then you sometimes wonder when you see that child grown up and you realize all the dastardly things that that person did. You wonder, is that that same child? That's why parents can never understand when their child does something so dastardly. Because they remember the child. They don't see the fallen nature of that adult now. So, Satan is happy for you to turn over a new leaf. He's happy when that happens. Turn over a new leaf. Just don't accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Because if all you do is turning over a new leaf and trying to be the best moral person you can, Satan will always have an entrance into you. He'll always be able to capture you. He'll always be able to have you as one of his. And we don't like to think of us belonging to someone. But we belong to Satan if we don't belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, that's another choice. So Satan is happy for you to turn over a new leaf because why? Because you're still going to hell. He's still going to walk you into hell. So turning over a new leaf, going through a 12-step program, going to a priest and asking forgiveness, all of those things. Even coming forward. And we're going to ask you to come forward in a moment if the Lord is working on your heart. None of those things will keep you from hell. The only thing that keeps you from hell is accepting the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether it's here and now in your seat, in your car, or when you get home. We as a church body would love to see it here in this church. Now, so he says that the state of the man is worse. Now look what happens here. This is kind of curious. You say, well, this has no reference to what just happened. Look, verse number 27. And it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, blessed is the womb that have thee, that bear thee, and the paps which thou hast sucked. So out of the clear blue sky comes this woman, and she's blessing the Lord's mother. Well, what does that tell us? Now, there's nothing wrong there. There's nothing wrong with what she said. The Lord Jesus never repudiated what she said. But I submit that her focus was all wrong. Her focus was all wrong. The woman had taken the focus off the Lord Jesus Christ and put it on his mother. You say, well, that's not wrong, but it is wrong. Anytime you take your focus off of the Lord, even if it's something that you think appears okay, once you take your focus off the Lord, you're on thin ice. You're on bad ground. You're on sinking sand. Keep your focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we'll end with this. It says here, but he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. So you've heard the word of God today. I didn't vary from the scriptures. Yeah, I add a little bit of commentary, but you've heard the word of God today. So now, what are you going to do with it? To keep it means to do something with it. So those who hear the words of Jesus and keep it, that means to do something, to keep something, means to do something about it. Are you ready to let that happen? Are you ready to let Jesus remove Satan from your life? Now, if you're a believer here, you've already trusted Him, are you ready to part ways with the world? We had that study this morning. Love not the world, nor the things of the world. And we're not talking about the created world. God created this world. And we're to enjoy it. But not the world system. The world system is corrupting us. Even believers. That's why so many churches are taking people astray. They're closing their doors. They're corrupting. Satan is corrupting even his own church. So, what do we make of all of this? You know, as I said before, there's our choices that are going to be set before you. And I've set a choice, or Jesus has set a choice even now. Choose life and good, or evil and death. That's a simple choice. You know, if we can get that so simple in our mind, we would say, well, how can I choose life and to do good? Well, you do that by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, every message that we have to give out should be about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? No, it's no good if I talk about me for half an hour. I don't think I have enough in me to talk about a half an hour about myself. Maybe I do. But we want to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can save. And He wants to save you today.